In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We should not be surprised that Herod was so furious. The world wants nothing more than to destroy Christ. They have no tolerance for him. They are not with him. They are against him, undermining his work. And when they fail, which they always do, they rant and rave, lashing out at anyone in the vicinity. And so the Magi fled to their country by another route. Jesus fled to Egypt. But those Bethlehem boys had nowhere to flee as Herod's fury swept down and overtook them. It's not fair, it's not right that they should lose their lives while Christ goes free. It's not fair that two-year-olds are ushered into heaven while we must labor here far longer. Christ flees because he came in weakness. Herod's soldiers did not fall over dead as in the days of Hezekiah and the Assyrians. The angelic army stood still as a man carried a child and his mother away to Egypt from destruction. He came in weakness. He came in humility. He needed help. He needed deliverance. God could not save himself. He needed protection. He needed rescuing. And it could be no other way. For to save you, he must become like you in every way. He became as weak as you, as helpless as you. His divinity was tucked so deep within his humanity that he was just as susceptible to paranoid kings and sharp steel as any other infant would have been. If he would not have fled, he would have died at Herod's sword. He needed a mother and a father to save him. And they needed a God and Savior to keep them safe, to keep him safe. So while Palestine raged, he found refuge among the Gentiles. Do you see how lowly his kingdom is? Weakness, mourning, and death surround him. Glory be to God and peace on earth. The angelic song is nothing more than a distant memory. That silent night when all was calm and bright is pierced with bloodshed. That holy night with mother and child sleeping in heavenly peace is shattered by soldiers ripping sleeping children away from their mothers. And Christ is on the run as a fugitive. Today you see the realities of his kingdom. It is not of this world. If it were, his soldiers would fight for him. Instead, an army of boys is slaughtered. Simeon was right. This child is destined for the rising and falling of many in Israel. For he came not to bring peace, but he came to bring a sword. And it's painful to watch. That sword will pierce even Mary's heart. It's dangerous to be connected to this child. It's deadly to be around him. There's always collateral damage. And so we should not be surprised that we suffer. We are part of this child's kingdom, after all. Look at what he endured early on in his life. Look at what those around him went through early on in his life. Why would we expect anything different? Hardships are the norm. Peaceful Christian societies are the exception. They truly are the exception. And by God's grace, he has given us a country that has allowed for us many privileges for a time. But it should not surprise us when governments and society rescind godly laws and enforce the contrary. It should not surprise us in the least. Hardships are the norm. The realities of our life on earth are sometimes hard to swallow. The kingdom is not of this world. Our glory is not here. And that is true even of our personal lives. 2016 has arrived. And everyone hopes that it will be a better year than last year. Perhaps it will. Perhaps it'll be far worse. Probably it'll be about the same. Joys and sorrows, new life, new birth, and also death. We'll receive much, yet also lose much. Success and failures. And yet through it all, we still have heartbreak. Each of us has our own burden that we carry, a loss, perhaps, that is just impossible to get over with the turn of a new calendar. And death itself does not fear us just because we bear the name Christian. In fact, it will attack us, if God allows it, with all the more ferocity, trying to rip us away from Christ in one last-ditch effort. We are connected to this Christ child, and so part of his kingdom, and it's a dangerous thing to confess him. And so we mourn. A sword pierces our heart as well. We mourn because we have known happiness. We have tasted a sample of the goodness of our God, and we want more. And there is far more in store, far more than we can possibly imagine. It's just not here. His kingdom is not of this world. There is no glory for us here, not even protection from every evil, and not even happiness every year. We are the church militant. We live in exile away from our homeland. We live in weakness and humility, and yet patiently waiting for the day when our God will call us out of this world. Had Christ died that Bethlehem night, how would he have lived a perfect life in our place? He needed to live perfectly not only as a child, but also as an adult, for we continue to sin, even as adults. Had he risen from the grave, who would have believed that he had died? The scriptures must be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. So to Egypt he fled for safety. From Egypt he was called for your deliverance. He had to teach. He had to preach. He had to heal. He had to live that perfect and holy life in your place. He had to institute his holy sacraments and establish the office of the holy ministry. The scriptures must be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I have called my son. So those Bethlehem boys died while Christ escaped. I do not feel sorry for them. Herod's sword simply ushered them into heaven. And it's always good to be home in heaven. This Christ child was weak as you are weak, as helpless as you. He was made like you in every way, yet he was without sin. He knew hardships. He knew tears and sorrows, sadness and loss, even as you know. And he endures it all perfectly for you. He had no special perks, no exceptions, no shortcuts did he take, even though he was God. But he labored through this life even as you labor. He was one with you so that you might be one with him forever. The Son of God didn't even have a place on which to lay his head. He was a man of sorrow. And he suffers it all for you, so that you might be his. This perfect life is now credited to you. It is yours in every way. When God looks at you, he sees someone who has kept the law of God perfectly from beginning to end. He sees someone who has never sinned, never forsaken him, never wavered in the face of temptation or suffering, because he sees you through the eyes of Christ. You are clothed with Christ. And so you patiently wait. You patiently wait in humility and in weakness for your God to bring you home. Christ came in weakness. And yet fleeing to Egypt was not as weak and as humiliating as he would get. The cross. He couldn't die at Herod's sword. It was too quick, too easy. He had to die an excruciating, agonizing, painful death on the cross. So great were our sins. He had to die to atone for our sins. And his divinity sank deeper and deeper inside of him so that man on that cross looks nothing like the Son of God, the Word made flesh who created heaven and earth. He looks like a worm and not a man. He needed help. He needed deliverance. He needed protection. He needed rescuing. He cried out to his heavenly Father, and yet no angel was sent to usher him to a foreign land. The Father remained silent. He forsook his Son, because the Son was there to pay a price. like those Bethlehem boys, sacrificed their lives to save Christ, so that Christ might sacrifice his life to save them from eternal death. The king of the Jews was finally dead, as Herod had wished. And yet his weakness is your comfort. For in weakness, he has opened the promised land of heaven to you. This earth is not your home. You live in exile in a land not your own. And yet through his ordained messengers, he calls you out of this world and to the promised land of heaven. There is your true home. In the sea of baptism, he has drowned all your enemies. The river of baptism has opened the promised land to you. Those Bethlehem boys may have been ripped from their loving mother's arms, but they died in the arms of their tender, gracious, heavenly Father. For they died in faith in Christ. You too may lose much, perhaps even your life. And yet you too will rest in the arms of your tender, gracious, heavenly Father now and even in your last days. For he did not spare his own son, but he gave him up for you so that you might be called sons of God. And that is what you are. You are sons of the heavenly Father. Your Father has kept many disasters from you, more than you can even count. He has allowed only so much to come into your life. Only what you can handle. He is with you, watching you, hovering over you every step of the way, never letting you out of his sight as any good father does. And yet he has not kept everything from you. You still get sick, still get diseases. You still suffer from heartbreak and loss. You still have stress and pain and suffering. His forgiveness has removed it all already. You are perfect and pure in his sight, but not yet. You are free from death. His death has crushed death for you, so it cannot harm you, it cannot have you, and yet you still will die. You still feel empty when loved ones die. You are part of his glorious kingdom, an eternal kingdom that is triumphantly marching forward. But you do not see it yet. You have it all by faith right now. And yet physically you see none of it. In fact, you see quite the opposite. You see weakness and humility as the church is less and less significant in this world. His kingdom is not here. It should not surprise us that there is no glory here, for his kingdom is not of this world. So do not be surprised if 2016 is far worse than 2015. It should not surprise us in the least, for this is not our home. Like those Bethlehem boys, the glory is not here, but it rests in heaven. They live because Jesus lives. We too will live because Christ lives. They are free from pain and suffering and now enjoy the full glories that Christ has won for them. And their mothers, who endured heartbreak, a tremendous sadness and heartbreak, well, they too live. If they endured 50 years of sadness, painful thing that we would wish upon no mother, now they have endured more than 2,000 years of joy and perfect bliss in a holy union not only with their sons, but also with their God and Father. Our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory of heaven. It's just not worth comparing. For we are being conformed to Christ. It should not surprise us when we suffer, not in the least. It should not seem like something strange is happening to us when things don't go the way that we planned. We are being conformed to the weakness and humility of Christ so that his glory might be revealed in us, and then we will be overjoyed. For our Father soon will call us out of this world and to our promised land, our home. And it's always good to be home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.